and refocusing. And, you know, you talk nuts and bolts like, hey guys, we are on camera. This doesn't work anymore. Right? Because you're not conscious of that. You know? And, you know, funny things like how to speak Diana. Like, when I do this, that means something. When I do this, it means something. So I'm not just trying to be a rock star. I'm actually communicating to my team by my body movements because both of my hands are occupied. Often, you know, a worship leader will go like this, and everybody sees this, and that means we're going to the chorus, you know, or this, you know, bridge or whatever. But I can't do that. So I have to communicate with all of this. So we were laughing and talking about how to speak Diana, and, you know, if we could come up with some new signs, maybe like this, and just having fun, and just enjoying one another, and enjoying what the Lord is doing in our midst. And my topic today is called Moving Toward, and the person who put it online corrected me because she thought that I was misspelling it, and put forward. But forward gives the connotation of an advancement as in progress. But toward has an intentionality. So I want to talk about today moving toward in covenant. So let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this time. Thank you for your bride. And thank you that church is like beauty school. And it's where we as the bride get to partake of your word and encourage and edify one another so that we can become the girl your son would desire. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would highlight moments today of what I'm sharing, and that you would communicate to your people those things that are going to cause an awakening, that are going to light fuses where there may have been some fuses that have gone out, and things that will cause people to just quicken and awaken, to draw closer to you and to move toward you. And to move toward one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, moving toward the covenant that keeps. Covenant, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, it's about a cutting, and then it's about the passing through. It's a compact made by the passing through between pieces of flesh. Yeah, that's really gross. So I went and I looked upon it in the Old Testament, which is actually, testament is the English word for covenant. The Old Covenant. It's about the compact made with the Lord by the passing through pieces of flesh. What he gave us before Christ was he gave us sacrifice. God is really big on this blood thing because blood is where life is. Did you know that a child in the womb doesn't receive the blood from the mother, it receives it from the father's seed? Life is in the blood, and it's given by the father. So to make a covenant, to have a cutting away, that brings us into compact, death is involved. And life must come. Blood has to cover. The whole sacrificial system, you know, God's into typology. He's into pictures, right? I was thinking about it yesterday, how when they were out in the desert and they started getting attacked by all these snakes because they were backbiting. Hi, backbiting. Backbiting. God's like, okay, you're going to have what you're all producing. You're all biting. You're biting me. You're biting each other. Here you go. Here's some snakes. And they were all about to die. And he said, okay, I want you to put the snake on the post and I want you to lift up the post. And when they gaze at the post with the bronze snake, the bronze serpent, I will heal them of the biting of that snake, of the poison, of the death. And I was thinking, I'm like, Lord, of course that sets us up for the new covenant, the new blood that was shed, that we were to look on you. And I said, but Lord, you didn't bite us. He says, no, but you bit me. They turned from me, and it was sin that was biting you. And so I came as the new covenant, as the new shedding of blood, as the one you're to look to heal you. But it involves blood. It always involves blood. The Jewish wedding ceremonies, they used to put the tent in the middle of the reception hall. And the celebration didn't happen after the vows were exchanged. The celebration happened after the bride and groom went into the tent and the sheets got thrown over the side. And the blood was there to show this covenant is pure. Her virginity was intact, and now blood has been shed. A covenant has been made. Woo! That's when everybody would celebrate. The importance of covenant is different than a vow. A vow is my promise. It is my intention towards you to whatever it takes me to fulfill my word to you. But a vow is not a covenant, because a covenant requires blood. A covenant requires death. A covenant requires sacrifice. And Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, and it's been paid once for all. So today I want to talk about the covenant that keeps us in relationship. Kim, could we go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, please? And I'm not trying to be, you know, super spiritual. I have a cold. So if you hear my voice, it's great. I can reach all those Kim Walker notes because I'm way down here in the basement. Anyhow, Deuteronomy 6, 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Now let's go to Mark 12, verse 30. You see, the old covenant was between us and the Father. It was between us and our Creator, God. You shall love God. This is now the covenant. I will give everything for you, but I want you to learn to love me and to be in covenant with me. And I'm going to teach you sacrifice, and I'm going to teach you what covenant actually costs. It costs a life. But now we come, and Christ has come. The serpent on the stick in the new covenant is Christ. And it says here, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Okay, we heard that one. We received that in Deuteronomy. But the next verse says, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. I don't get the benefit in this new covenant of just loving God. The expression of love in this new covenant is both vertical and horizontal. To keep the commandments of God now, I have to be willing to extend my heart and to open my heart on the lateral plane. And that can be scary, because not everybody on this plane is going to manage my heart well. Not everyone on this plane is going to know what to do with my heart once I extend it. Not everyone on this plane is going to receive my heart. My heart might get rejected. My heart might get stepped on. My heart might get ridiculed. My heart might get ignored. But God doesn't say, love your neighbor as yourself when they love you back. Or so that they will love you back. There's no caveat on that statement. He just asks you to love your neighbor as you would yourself. Okay, in this day and age with all of our psychology and everything, we know there's a lot of self-hatred going around. You know, I don't love myself, I hate myself, and this and that and the other. That's not, God was not concerned about that. Do you eat? When you're cold, do you put on a jacket? If someone goes to poke you in the eye, do you move? Do you care for yourself? You care for yourself. Varying levels of that. But God's asking me to love my neighbor as I love myself. And I'm going to move to my strongs. I'm not texting my family. Can you bring that back, Kim? It's Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 31. Yes. Okay. My handy-dandy concordance does not want to come up because I don't have my glasses on and I probably typed moof. No, that says Mark. Okay. Ah, got it. Here we go. Sorry. Thanks for your patience. All right. Mark 12. Da, 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 31. I want to look at the love that he says. Let's go back to verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God. He uses agapeo, which we know is the fullness of God's love. Okay? Then in verse 31, you shall love your neighbor. Oh, shoot. It's agapeo again. It's not phileo. It's not, I will be kind towards you. It's not, I will have brotherly love, brotherly affection towards you. He says, with all you have, I want you to love the person next to you the same way you love me. That's a tall order. Because it's interesting. There's a scripture that says, you know, to love the God you do not see when you can't love the people you do see. Well, this is a lot more difficult because ideologically, I can love God because he's big and he's God and, well, he's God. So I can love him. You know, I can get frustrated with him sometimes, but it's almost easier to love God than it is my neighbor. Because God's not going to be on the relational level with me in the same way that my husband or my children or my next door neighbor or my friend or my renter are going to be on that relational level. And God's perfect, so it's easy to love perfection. But to give the same amount of love, to attribute the same amount of love, ascribe the same amount of love to you that I need to give to God, oy, ah, wow, gee, God, you sure? He goes, yeah, I've taken care of it. I've put Christ in you. I've put me in you. I've made the sacrifice that determines a covenant. And what I want to ascribe today is that if I will make a covenant with God to move toward the people in my life, regardless of how they are treating my heart, then I will make room for this love to use me as a channel. But it's not easy. Because when people, it doesn't even take much. If someone backs away from me, oh, all my defense mechanisms kick in. Ah, are they mad? What did I say? What did I do? Oh no, was I misinterpreted? And I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm trying to sort it out, and I gotta fix it, and I gotta fix it. Because I read a look wrong? Or I may have read it right. But in my, I talked to my team yesterday about code books. Everyone has a code book of how we communicate. And the first code is everyone has the same code book. And that's a lie. If I were to look at somebody and said, how could you do that? You would never do that. Well, that's one of my codes, right? Somebody, if you love me, you would have done this. You would just know to do this. Well, how would they know to do this? Well, because it's in my code book. This is what love looks like. Love communicates this way and this way and this way. And they pull out their code book and they're like, well, in my code book, love looks this way and this way and this way. You know, so my husband and I, you get married, you learn real quick your code books don't match. And so, you know, we're going out somewhere, and he went and he bought me flowers, and he made the house just like super romantic. And I'm like, thanks. Can you take me out to dinner? And he was like, but women love this. It's on page 2. The movies will back me up on this. Women love this. And I'm like, hi, my code book page 2 says acts of service. If you want to bless me, don't make me cook. And better yet, take me out, because the mess after you cook for me is not worth the dinner. Now, I can say that a lot more gently, and over time we've learned to couch our words in a way that is a little more loving while staying honest. But these are code books, right? So, and I assume, well, isn't this your code book? Isn't this, and we don't even know we have code books. We just assume everyone understands and has engaged life since birth the exact same way I have encountered life. Because how I've encountered life determines how I deal with life, what this means and what that means. So funny, there was this couple, and they were in counseling for communication, because she would say, sure. And he's like, I don't know why she doesn't want to do things. And she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean I don't want to do things? Well, see, in his family, if he came and he said, hey, can I borrow your car? And they went, sure. In his family code book, sure meant, I really don't want you to borrow my car. And actually, I would appreciate it if you would withdraw that question so I wouldn't feel uncomfortable about not wanting you to borrow my car. So that was his family's code book of sure. So when he comes and he goes, hey, do you want to go do this? And she goes, sure. He's like, well, why doesn't she want to do it? What's the problem? How did I do something wrong? Did I forget to take out the trash? What is it? Did you guys see In and Out, Inside Out? It's the same thing. What's going on? And it's so funny, because over one little misunderstanding, here's one that's almost in everybody's code book. Right, what does that communicate to you? If you're talking to somebody and they go, uh-oh, mom's mad. What'd we do? What'd you do? It was you. I didn't do it, you did it. And so I've learned to tell my children, because I'm processing in my brain a lot, and sometimes I'm just like, because I'm in my brain, has nothing to do with them. So I've learned, because I watched them start doing this, I'm like, oh, shoot, I communicated something that I didn't mean to communicate. And I'm like, hey, that air through my nose meant nothing about you guys. You're fine. I'm thinking, I'm processing. It just came out. It wasn't towards you. And they're like, you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm absolutely sure. But all of us possess a code book that tells us what something means. And I will guarantee you on my life, you meant this. When maybe you didn't. Now, if I'm going to move towards you and I'm not going to back up, The first place I need to go is back to my covenant with the Lord that says, I have to agapeo them just like I agapeo you. Okay, then I need to tap into something greater than me, and I need to back out of my code book for a minute. Because I might be right. I may have offended you. I may have pushed a button. But God doesn't say love until you push a button. Love unless there's offense. Love unless they back away. The Lord doesn't qualify any of it. He just says love. So how do I keep moving forward when it's scary for me? Communication is hard. Humanity is tough. People, because one person thinks this and another person thinks this. But my covenant with the Lord says, but I get to believe the best. Even if you're not behaving the best. I may have hit some button that in your, you know, learning, because where did we learn communication? Parents in the playground, right? Not exactly the best places. And if I push that button that suddenly makes you go, rah! I'm going to go, wow. Okay, I'm out. But my covenant with the Lord doesn't allow for that. How do I move towards you? My mother-in-law is a horseback rider, and she always says, getting close to the kicking horse. Because if I stand back far enough, that horse's kick is going to take me out. It looks like it can't reach me, but this horse has a supernatural extension of its back legs that when it kicks, it actually stretches out its front legs. So you got the full length of its body and then the haunch and then the leg, and I could be standing over here and the horse is over there and I am down. Backing away in conflict is not going to make me safe. Because if that person doesn't take me out, the enemy is waiting out here because I backed out of covenant. And I've put myself where I'm trying to cover and protect my wounds rather than going, okay, I need, this is scary. I'm going to get in close. I don't know how this is going to work. How do I get in close? Well, I can't get in close to them until I get in close to him first. Because it may not be safe to get in close to them. It's okay. But I need to move forward somewhere. I need to start somewhere. So I've got to move toward the Lord. And I got to press in with, I'm scared here, I'm hurt here, I'm wounded, I'm offended here. Wow, wow. I want to cause pain because I'm in pain. I want to control someone because I'm afraid. The other day, one of my children did a really lame job on a science project. I'm trying not to use the word I'm thinking. It was a half-baked job on the science project. And it's the day, I homeschool, but it's the one day that we actually go to school. So it's always the circus, trying to get everybody and, you know, together. It's like church, right? You're trying to get all your children in church, and you come to church, and they're like, yes! So we're getting ready, and I looked at it, and I said, you know, that right there shows little to no effort. I would give you a C- on this at the best. You can do better. Okay, so then when anybody calls us on something, what's the first thing we do? Defend, 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 defend. But you didn't know. But I'm like, maybe so. Maybe so. It's time to get ready. Got animals to feed, got to do your hair, got to get dressed, got to do this, got to do that. Okay, let's go. So now I've got to make this right. And focus and focus. I need you to leave that. If we have time, if you do everything you need to do for us to get in the car and you still have time, then you may address this mess. But not now. Go in the kitchen. Not leaving. In case you didn't hear me, I need you to leave this now. Now, what's my concern? I'm now trying to clean up my mess, so I am going to jeopardize everyone else being on time for the sake of my trying to make it right in the moment, rather than doing what needs to be done right now. Okay? So, three times I asked, can you please leave it until we're ready? Completely blew me off. I'm in the kitchen. I wanted to become the Incredible Hulk. I could feel the inside of me wanting to be big. If I were a rooster or a peacock, all of my feathers would have fluffed up in that moment. Why? Because now you are disrespecting me and I want to control you. I want to rip the science project out of your hands and I want to put it in the garbage. Instead, I'm just being honest. Instead, I go over to the sink and I'm like, wow, I really want to get super big right now. And I want to control God. And I know that you don't even control me. Okay, I'm just going to wash dishes and I'm going to breathe. And we're going to get everybody else ready. And that is the choice that individual is making. And I realize that this individual right now is trying to punish me. Doesn't even realize that's what they're doing. It's passive aggressive. You're going to call me on this? I'm going to make you pay. Fine, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it right now. Didn't. And I'm just like, that's okay. How do I move toward? How do I not move this way? How do I get back in love in this moment? How do I give her the freedom to make bad choices? This right here, this is not bringing us together. This is pushing each other away. She's hurt. She's mad. Bottom line, she's not owning it. And owning it is big in my household. Just own it. And then we've got somewhere we can move. Did you make a mistake? Just own it. Oops, I made a mistake. Great. Now we have something we can work with. So in our code book, that's a big code in our family. God bless my children when they get married because everybody else ain't going to have this code book. But so I'm here and I'm like, okay, how do I move toward? Well, I'm not ready to move toward. For me right now, all I can do to control myself is not become the Incredible Hulk. So right now, that's what love is for that individual. I've got to back out, but I've got to back into the Lord. I can't come over here and nurse my anger. I can't feed my anger. I don't have a right as a child of God to make my injuries, my victimization, the cause for me to give up my power. God made me powerful. He said, I will never take your power away. I love when Jesus said, you don't take my life. I lay it down. And I will take it up again. And God gave that to us. He said, I have put me in you and I have given you self-control. I will not control you. I may manage all the circumstances around your life to bring about the treasure that's in you, but you get to choose. Choose life, choose death, but choose life. Gotta go. I will not control you. I will not make this individual love me. I will not make my children obey. I will say, ouch, and I'm going to back away. So after this has gotten figured out and la, 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 we get in the car, and I'm sitting there, and one of my other kids goes, hey, we're on time, first time ever this semester. And I'm like, right, God goes, celebrate the victory. Because what do I want to do? I want to go into lecture mode. I got you guys for 45 minutes in the car ride. You are my prisoners. Now I'm going to make y'all pay. And the Lord's like, celebrate the victory. And I'm like, we're on time. It's the first time this semester. It's a miracle. Okay, yes. Well done. We made it on time. Sorry, Mom. I know. All right. How do we move towards each other? How do we move towards each other? How do I become a conscientious individual? How do I manage me so that I'm actually self-aware of my footprint in people's lives without being hyper-concerned about everything? There's a balance and there's a health, and it has to be driven by love and not by fear. Fear chases out love. It can look the same, but the motivation is different and the feeling is different. If my son were to say, Mom, if I vacuum, will you love me more? I'm going, well, no, I might feel like it, but no. No, son, I will not love you more if you vacuum. I can't love you any more than I do. I adore you. Don't vacuum to win my affection. But if we're sitting down and we're joking and we're laughing, he goes, Mom, I want a vacuum. I will go get the vacuum. I will receive that blessing. Same exact chore. But the fruit of it is different. The motivation is different because one was wrought out of fear and the other was wrought out of love. And when my motivation for something is fear, then the fruit of that is always going to just kind of make it harder, and the enemy just loves to get in and cause more confusion. And now that doesn't mean that I can't move towards you and still be afraid. I can. I can actually be afraid and still move. But the fear cannot be my motivation. I've got to do that because you don't like me, and I've got to figure out why you don't like me. I can't move that way. I have to say, Lord, I'll come back into my covenant. Love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor that same way. What does love look like right now? 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to verse 1. Pastor's going to preach on it next service, so I don't want to really take up too much time in this chapter. But if we can go to 1 Corinthians 13, just verses 1 through 3. The outflow of my love, the fruit of that will determine if I am rooted and grounded in my covenant of love with the Father. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, who didn't want that? You want to understand everything? Yes, my brain goes, yes, I love knowledge. My ego says, yes, I love knowledge. And it's a way to know the Father too. And though I have all faith, whoa, faith, that's the Christian number one, right? Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Next one. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. These first three verses are talking about the outflow of my life. They're talking about the works of my life. Praying, sacrifice, giving. These are the works of my life. And they can be motivated by love, or they can be motivated out of need for acceptance and approval. And you know, the great thing about the Father is he doesn't do this. He just heaps more love. He doesn't look at us when we're moving in fear. He doesn't look at us when we're moving out of a needy place as opposed to a full place. And he doesn't shake his head and shake his finger at us. He says, come here. Come. Come get in closer. Come back into me again. Come and let me love on you more. And so I may take that and I may feel full and I may out of that covenant move towards you and it may blow up. And the enemy in my code book says, blew it, pull out, back away, run away, hide and cover. And the Lord says, no, find me again and find love again. When we become a people who are willing to love courageously. It doesn't mean fear is gone, but it means I will choose love over fear in every circumstance. It means I will believe the best, even when I don't want to. Hey, if it's my kid, I know what's operating. I know what their thinking is. I know that they're trying to punish me right now. I know, because I know you. And I'm going to hold you here. Well, I haven't moved toward that person. I've actually moved away. Pastor's talking about Luke 6, and he says, you know, if you give one cheek, give the other cheek. And he said on Wednesday night, he's like, it's not a slap. It's with a stick. Turn around and let them beat you again. I don't have that capacity. Woo! I would like to believe that I do. But the only way I can get there is by the love of Christ rising up in me in a moment. And that's fruit that gets cultivated over one small choice after another. One small choice after another. Because martyrdom for martyrdom's sake is not love. If I give my body to be burned, if that sacrifice is rooted and grounded out of, I'll show them, I'll die. Well, that's my ego. If it's not rooted in, greater love has no man than this, than to lay one's life down for a friend. If I'm not willing to lay this life down, which I can't lay down if I don't own it, otherwise I'm just giving my body to be burned. I need to know the value of the life I'm giving away and I'm laying down. Sometimes in our brokenness, we will give all the parts of our life away, but that's not love. That's just slavery because we don't know any better. And we're broken. We're like, well, I have to do this. I have to give that, and I have to give this. And it's not really rooted and grounded in love. Once I receive the love of the Father, I am something. I was talking with my worship team yesterday, and we were talking about how when you hit that synergistic moment where the music, where we are locked in together, and the congregation is right there with us, and the anointing is happening, and it's just like, whoa, we are awesome. You are awesome. And, you know, and we joke and we get religious in the moment. Oh, no, I can't say I'm awesome. Yes, you're awesome. Are you not the teapot of God? Is he not poured into you? Is that not his glory that just got demonstrated? Yes. Yes. I am awesome. I am something. And not because I'm trying to build myself up so I'll believe it. It's because I actually realize that my dad is the king. And I'm his kid. I have all this inheritance just because I've been born again in Christ. I didn't earn it. I was born into privilege. And with my privilege comes authority and responsibility. I represent the King. So if I can possess my life and I can give it to God, then once he really owns me, I can lay my life down for you. Because it's mine, and I'm powerful. You don't take my life from me. Corrie ten Boom's sister, my daughter's reading The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom's sister was being tortured in the camps. She was being tortured, and she looked at the guy torturing her and said, Christ loves you, and I love you. Well, he tortured her to death. But many months later, he came to Corey, a broken, broken man, because he encountered true love. He said, oh my God, I cannot, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you. She's like, I don't want to know. And he's like, I must have forgiveness. And it was killing him because he encountered true love. There's a book called The Heavenly Man about Brother Xu in China and how he suffered and he suffered and he suffered. And he would give away his one morsel of bread so that his other prisoners would live. And he spent his time in fellowship with the Lord every day. And they would charge him with electrical charges. And I mean, his body parts would become black. They would die because of all of this. And he's just like, Lord. And he would look at his captors and he's like, Jesus loves you today. And they're like, ah! And hell would erupt in them, and they would attack him even more fiercely. And, you know, it says in John, there will come a day when they will revile you and cast you out for my name's sake. That's what they did to me. And we see all over the world as ISIS is coming, as ISIS is spreading across the earth, hell is releasing its fury. And you see these children going, no, I will not turn away from Jesus. They're like, how the heck do you do that? I was watching Brother Andrew White, the vicar of Baghdad, the vicar of Baghdad. And he's out there just ministering to the believers and the non-believers. He said, Christ is resurrecting more Muslims than Christians. Because the Christians know where they're going. They're good. When the Muslims come over and they're like, Uncle Armin just died. It's like, okay, and Uncle Armin will raise again because Uncle Armin needs to know Christ. And they're seeing far more resurrections in the Muslim and Arab world than they're seeing in the Christian world. And so he's there, and this man comes up to him, and he goes, I couldn't do it. And he goes, what? He said, they were going to kill my children. I could not let that happen. And I said, I denied Christ because I couldn't watch them butcher my children in front of me. And Andrew just said, and is it Andrew? It's Andrew. Brother? Yeah, it's Andrew White. And he said, tell me, brother, do you love Christ? He said, I love him with everything I have. Ask forgiveness. God knows. God knows. We are not yet living in extreme times. It is coming. There is a day. I do believe my children will see. I mean, they're already seeing it in the UK. They're seeing the bombings. They're seeing, Sharia law. They're fighting hard for Sharia law. They've watched it happen in Europe and a lot of places. It's not long before we will be touched. And I cannot stay in covenant with God and hate my enemy. But gee, God, I'm here in California and it's hard to love my sister. And what I want us to understand is it's the same faith and it's the same love. There's no difference. There's no difference. There's no difference between me loving someone who's trying to torture me and me loving someone who has offended me. If my love is rooted and grounded in my love for the Father, then my love for you, my neighbor, has to be exactly the same. And so the only thing that's going to give me courage doesn't mean take away my fear. Just give me courage to move forward in love is to remember that it's the covenant that keeps me. Because if I move toward you in love, I can't guarantee that I'm going to get the response I want. I can't guarantee it's not going to keep hurting. I can't guarantee that the enemy's not going to mess it up and the offense is going to become even bigger. But if I'm going to live rooted and grounded in love, then I have to keep moving toward Christ in you. Doesn't mean we'll be best buddies. But it means that I'm going to keep my heart surrendered. And I'm going to keep allowing myself to be wounded, not because I'm a slave and I don't have any worth, but because love can heal my heart. And because as I stay here and I get in close and it may hurt and it may wound or it may offend or it may scare me or it may freak me out, it doesn't determine my love. My love is determined by the one who keeps me. I had an offense towards a speaker who preaches this message, who moved far away from me whenever I was nearby.
Yeah.
And so I decided to cover myself so that whenever that speaker was around, it's not someone here in the house, really, not a lie, that whenever I was around that speaker, I would go, oh, there's that speaker. I'm just going to avoid the awkwardness, and I'm going to walk over here. Oh, I see that speaker. Before that speaker can reject me again, that individual, that human can reject me again, I'm going to go over here. Then I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this speaker talk about love. And the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, so you've turned your love off. I'm like, shoot. And it came from that person. And the Lord went, you've turned your love off to protect yourself. That doesn't protect you. That puts you in kicking distance. To shut your love off puts you in kicking distance. You are now fodder for the enemy and his friends who are waiting for you over here in your wounding. If I get in close and I'm like, I don't know how to get close to that person, but I'm going to get close to Jesus. And Lord, they're made in your image, and I'm going to honor your image in them, and I'm going to believe the best, and I'm going to get in close. It doesn't mean I try to make it all right. It means that I turn my love back toward them, and I begin to bless, and I begin to speak life. And you know what? After time, I'm going to act differently because I'm not acting in reaction. I'm actually acting in love. They don't have to receive it. They could throw it back in my face. I go, thanks. Here you go. But it no longer determines how I am acting. Because I've drawn into the covenant that keeps me. That keeps me there, no matter how uncomfortable it is. Please hear me. It doesn't mean that I have to make all things right with this individual. It just means that I am no longer motivated in fear in their presence. I'm motivated in love. And then that's God's business how they want to deal with me. That's between them and the Lord. That's no longer up to me unless the Lord tells me, how about this, how about that? So we're moving into a new season, and here's the bottom line. If we're asking God for new wineskins and new things, we're going to be doing things we've never done before. We're going to be going to places we've never been, and we don't know how to operate in that system. We don't yet have the language for that system. So I'm not going to know how to operate in that system. So that means I'm going to bump into you, and I'm going to knock your stuff on the floor, and I'm probably going to step on your toe, and I'm going to offend you. I might hit your button that goes, ah, danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger. I may push your buttons. I may violate your code book. I guarantee you I will. And I guarantee you will violate mine. But if I make my covenant with God to love him and to love you way more important than what I am feeling and experiencing right now, then it gives me a tool to stay engaged and to stay engaged with the Father so that the kingdom can be released even when it's rough. Even when it's rough. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to go, can we talk? Who likes those words? Anyone? Can we talk? What does that mean? Whose code book does that go? Ah, danger, they're mad at you. Ah, right? Whether they are or not. But I've got to be willing to go. I've got to be willing to go. Yes. What's up? And then I've got to be willing to listen, not to defend myself, but to listen. Because see, if I'm in defense mode, I'm actually not going to hear what you're talking to me about. I'm not going to hear it at all. I'm going to hear exactly what my experience dictates this situation is replaying to me, and I'm going to hear what the enemy is whispering in my ear right now, and I'm not going to hear you no matter what you say to me if I come at you like this. So if I come and I'm like, sure, let's talk. It's okay to be afraid. And they can say, oh, you know, when you did this, that. And my first response is always going to be, but I didn't mean to. Doesn't matter. This is how I have experienced you. Oh, let me own that. Even if it wasn't my intention. Sorry, really wasn't what I meant to come across. And I can ask questions. How did you experience me here? And we don't have to become psychologists. We just have to care enough to let people own their feelings and you've got yours and you get to own them too, but they don't get to dominate my relationship. Because I'm going to believe the best and I'm going to hope the best. And that's what's going to keep me in when it gets hard. Because here's the plan of the enemy when we're moving into something new. Foxes. Spoiling the vines. Whisperers, right? The whisperers. Oh, I'm offended by this. Oh, I'm hurt by this. Oh, la, la, la. I don't like the way this is happening. Hello. And they love to eat away. I have a responsibility to love. I have a responsibility to go, wow, you feel that way? How about a conversation? I have a responsibility to go, can I pray with you? Let's ask the Lord and not counsel you in my prayer. You should, in Jesus' name, you should. No, Lord, that's what I'm thinking, but what are you thinking? How can we open up and ask? How can we open up together and ask? How can we come in close when we disagree? I have two friends. They do phenomenal projects together, and their gift mixes are so different that they do this the entire time. But their love and their commitment to one another and the knowing that even in the midst of this, when they're done, that project's going to throw down. It's going to be amazing. Holds them in it. It holds them in. The covenant towards the end goal is what keeps us. What is the end goal? That we may look like the bride. That we may become the bride. That's our end goal. That means we have to be one. It's hard to be one with y'all. You got different code books, different histories. But he didn't care. He says, you're one in me. Let this covenant be in you. I have laid my life down. I have shed blood for you. Now receive me, and love those I've put you in the midst with. So let's pray. Would you stand up real quick? Because I know I've pushed buttons. And I know the enemy is lying to a whole bunch of people right now. And I know he'd like to tell people that, well, this was just for me. And no, this is for anybody who's human. This is for humanity. And so, Lord, right now, here we are. Let's assume the position. Open your hearts again. Father, as we step into the newness that you are bringing, would you teach us of this covenant with you, of love? Teach us of this covenant of love, and let it be what holds our feet to the fire when we're afraid. Let it be what holds, what keeps us close when we want to run away. Let it be what transforms our hearts, our mind, and even our thinking, God, and our seeing. And Holy Spirit, convict us when we are allowing anything other than the mind of Christ to dictate our behavior. Help us, not out of shame, but out of a desire for freedom, to repent of anything that is not of you. Even when we don't know what it is, to just go, Lord, I'm stuck. I don't know what this is, but I repent of anything that I am allowing to put a gap between you and me and you and my brother and you and my sister. Transform me in love, God. Transform me in love. Transform me in love. Transform me in love. Let me rise up and become courageous and brave in my love. Let my love be what destroys darkness. Let my love be what destroys loss. Let my love be what destroys sickness and demonization, God. Transform us all in love that we can move toward one another in times of transition. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right, we're going to pray for the